welcome to Go Church Manchester weekly sermon podcast.
Okay, are you ready? Are you ready to race? Race through the word. Good. I'm glad you were born ready. That's awesome. Okay, Father, I just thank you for your spirit of revelation at work in our hearts and our lives this morning. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we are in the Holy of Holies. I thank you, Father, for your word that brings life, that divides between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray each one of us will hear what you have to say to us today, that we will not close our hearts, but we will have soft hearts. And thank you, Lord, for that spirit of revelation at work in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, there was a duck then somewhere. Okay, part three, I am not an island. Turn to someone and say, I am not an island. In part one, we saw that we were designed for relationship. He's placed us in a body with many parts, and it's God's plan that we work together, we share life together, and we do this through love. And right at the beginning, when he created Adam, what did God say? It is not good for man to be alone. So we were designed right from the beginning. Part two last week, Pastor Alan looked at right relationships. You know, being part of the body is supposed to be a blessing to us, and it's supposed to bring protection. And the company that we keep affects us. And we have that scripture, don't we, from 1 Corinthians 15:33 that says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Did you know that you could be bad company? Ooh. We often think of it as people who don't love the Lord, people who don't know him as being bad company. But you know, if we allow certain things to be prominent in our lives and to live in certain ways, then we ourselves can be bad company. You know, you can be in church and be a gossip. That makes you bad company.
That's right.
Okay? So we need to look at a few things. So he was speaking to Christians when he said this. And that's why it's really important for us to be in the Word. And the last 2 weeks we've watched a video about how powerful it is when we're in the Word 4 times a week. That's all it takes, 4 times a week, and it has a significant change on our lives because we're feeding ourselves with the right food. So what are we going to look at today? We're looking at what are island makers, okay? What things are there that make us islands? And this is where we have a paradox in the Bible. Because, first of all, we often stand and from the stage or we talk and we say, we are in a battle. But actually, we also know the battle is won. So it's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Why do we say that? See, Jesus won the battle. But what happens is the enemy all the time wants to make us live as if we're defeated. That's his goal in life. He's defeated, but his goal is to try and make us live as if we are defeated. And I talked about this at the women's event, a story about a man who would go for a walk regularly, and while he was walking, he would see another man walking his 3 dogs. And 2 of these dogs would run really free, you know, over the fields. They were happy and, you know, just doing their thing. But the third dog would run round and round and round and round and round and round in circles. And he thought, well, this is really weird. Why is that dog doing that? And after a while, he plucked up courage and he went and he spoke to this man and he said, hey, why does your dog run round and round in circles? And he said, well, I have recently acquired this dog. And the previous owner used to keep this dog in a cage all the time. So if the dog wanted to exercise, it just ran round and round and round in the cage. And so now it's free, but that's what it's learned. That's the behavior it's learned. And so what does it do? Runs round and round and round. So even though this dog is now free, still runs round and round in circles. And actually, this is what we can be like as Christians. We're now free, but in our mind and in our thinking and maybe situations that we're in cause us to still be running round and round and round and round in circles instead of being free. I was also thinking about isolation. See, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I was thinking about animal documentaries. I'm sure we've all seen them, especially when you look at an animal that is a predator. You know, a lion, when going for a big herd of animals, doesn't go for the whole herd. What does the lion do? The lion looks for the weak, looks for the young, and tries to cut them off from the pack, everybody else. Because the enemy knows if he can isolate the weak and the strong, he's got a chance to get them. Okay? And if the lion is absolutely desperate, really hungry, he will go for a strong one as well. Because he wants to isolate everybody. And if he isolates us, he knows he has a chance to get that animal or for the devil to destroy us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is Jesus talking. The thief not only wants to steal, he wants to kill and then he wants to destroy. He is out to destroy you. And if he can get us alone, if he can isolate us, if he can get us away from the body, he might have a chance. I was also thinking about a physical island. You know, in our United Kingdom, right down the bottom, we have the Isle of Wight. Has anyone been to the Isle of Wight? My granddad used to live on the Isle of Wight, so we used to go there and see him quite regularly. But to get to an island, and it's a small island, to get there, you have to go over in a boat. That's how you get there. You have to go in a ferry or a hovercraft or whatever it is that you have to go to. And the thing is, when you're an island, you can't get the resources of the mainland without making an arrangement. When you're in the mainland, everything is available. Everything is easy to get. But when you are an island, it's difficult to get the resources. You have to make an arrangement. So think about when you're sick and you can't come to church. What do? As the mainland, we help by organizing food and meals to go to the island. Do you see? So we mustn't become islands. Together, we have all the resources that enable us to be strong. And there are two scriptures here. Alan mentioned Ecclesiastes 4:12 in part one. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, if I'm on my own, it's difficult. But if I've got somebody standing next to me, I can say, hey, can you stand with me and pray? Just speak the word over me. Tell me the truth. Have you ever done that? I know I have. I've gone up to people and I've just said, right, just tell me the truth. Speak the word over me. I need to hear the word of God. I need to be encouraged. It's okay to go and ask somebody that.
It is.
Matthew 18:19-20 says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So again, two or three are gathered. See, Jesus is here now. He's here. His spirit is moving in this place. It's hovering. The spirit, or he's in you. The spirit of God is moving. And together we bring all the resources and we are stronger. But what the enemy does is he tries to trick us. See, what is a trick? A trick is a cunning act or a scheme intended to deceive. See, the battle is won. Okay? So the battle that we have is in our mind most of the time. Because the battle is won. And what the enemy does is tries to deceive us and say, you're a loser. You're no good. No one wants to spend time with you. Why do you do your hair that way? Why do you do this? You see, this is what the enemy says all the time. Can't tell me you're not. Does the enemy lie to you? Yes. And we've got to make a decision what we do with those lies. So what are these tricks that the enemy has? So the first trick, well, these are four tricks. They're not all the tricks. These are the four I'm going to try and unpack. So the first one is sickness. Sickness is an island maker. And sometimes the very place that you need to be to receive your healing is here, is with the body. And what the enemy seeks to do is to keep you away and apart. See, most of you know in here that I've had knee replacements. Some of you are new and you might not know that. But the 5 years running up to my knee replacements, my knees got worse and worse and worse. Did I pray for healing? Yes. Did all of you guys pray for healing? Yes. Okay? There was a desire to see complete healing. And I had a choice. Sometimes I would wake up and I would have a choice whether I said to Alan, I don't want to go to church today. My knees hurt too much. But not once did I do that because I knew that this is where I needed to be. This was the place to receive my healing. This is where our faith together helped me. Do you know how many of you came and prayed with me? How many of you laid your hands on my knees? How many of you encouraged me? A days when I was like, how am I going to do what I've got to do tomorrow? But your strength and your faith enabled me and helped me to keep going when my knees hurt more and more and more. Yes, we all wanted to see a miracle, but can I tell you something? Every professional that I went to see, they would look at my x-rays and they would say to me, goodness, you must be in so much pain. And I did the whole lot at the end just on paracetamol. Maybe you don't know that. But I didn't have to take big, you know, lots of heavy drugs to keep my medication. But you see, all the time, what the enemy wants to do is say, you're too ill to go to church. You're too ill to go to the body, to be with the body. Why don't you stay at home today? It's nice and comfortable in bed. It's cozy in bed. You can have breakfast in bed. You don't need to do anything today. No. I wanted to be here. I wanted to be worshiping the Lord because there is so much power when you worship the Lord together. See, the enemy wants you to be an island. But what if you can't get here? Because sometimes physically you can't get here because you really aren't that well. What do you do at that point? Well, first of all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I don't want anyone to feel condemned because of what I did, okay? But secondly, there's a scripture It says in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Can I tell you something? Alan and I know the moment somebody who is too ill or sick at home to come picks up the phone and dials us, and we answer it, and they say, can you come and pray? Faith is released.
Yes.
The very fact that someone has picked up their phone, taken hold of this scripture, we know that God is going to do a miracle. God is going to do something. It's really powerful. But you see, what the enemy says is, do you know being sick is not a sin?
Yeah.
It's not a sin. It's not a weakness to go, hey, pastor, I'm really not well. Can you come and pray with me?
Yeah.
I'll pray with you over the phone if you have a cold. So please don't phone me because your big toe hurts. But do you know what I mean? You know, we're putting in place a pastoral care team. But you've got to be aware what sickness tries to do. And sickness comes from the enemy. And what does the lion do? The lion gets the weak to one side so that he can attack. Okay? Don't let sickness prevent you from meeting with the body and having others stand with you to pray. I didn't use that scripture, you know, choice, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And that's what I did. I came to church. I came to the Lord. I came to be with the body. Okay, number two, the second island maker is rejection. There's a word, a modern word that's used for rejection. It's being dissed. Dissed is taken, you know, D-I-S at the beginning. Disrespected, disparaged, dismissed, disconnected, disregarded. It's all about being rejected. It's about being overlooked. Do you know that no one is immune to being rejected? Anybody could have been rejected from a job or a job promotion. Maybe you've been on the end of a broken promise or a broken engagement. Maybe you've been rejected due to your appearance, a disability, your social status or your economic status. Maybe you've been rejected by parents, a boss, a teacher, a friend, too tall, too small, too skinny, too fat. Maybe by a complete stranger, maybe by somebody who you have been speaking to about the gospel and quite frankly, they don't want to hear you. Have you ever had the door slammed in your face or the phone hung up on you? All of these things are rejection in some form or another. Picked last for the team, talked about behind your back, given the silent treatment. Everybody in this room at some time must have received a rejection. Whether it is a large rejection like your divorce, like a divorce, or whether it is a minor thing like somebody just shutting the door and you're trying to tell them about Jesus, or even somebody saying no to you. We've all received it, but it's then what do we do with what has happened? Because sometimes when we get rejected, what happens is we build walls. And we go, if we don't get close to people, then we're not going to be rejected. And so we stay away. We don't sign up for a grow group. We don't come to church every week. Maybe we don't work on a team because we're like, I don't want to build a relationship. I just like comfy me, comfy life. And if I don't get to know anyone, then I'm not going to get rejected. And what happens is these barriers cause other people to reject them because they attract the very thing that they fear.
Yeah.
And they build walls of bitterness or anger or criticism. They become tough and they give off an air of self-sufficiency. It's all right, I can do it on my own, thank you very much. Because they were hurt last time they did something with somebody. And what happens is you push people further and further away. And then you have this cycle of rejection. But did you know that God understands rejection? Isaiah 53:3-11 amazing piece of scripture, but it begins right at the beginning. He was despised and rejected. Did you know that even the Father rejected Jesus on the cross? That was all part of the plan so that we might have salvation. He became our substitute. He bore on him all the sin. Just like the lamb, the scapegoat that got sent off into the desert, when you read it in the Old Testament, Jesus bore all our sin and got sent away. But why? Why did he do that? He took everything that makes a person unacceptable. And by doing that, he made us acceptable. See, the enemy wants to create distance and separation and wants to say that you are nothing and you are no good. So you can't even enter the presence of God. You know, when you do something wrong, when you sin or you know you've done something wrong, the enemy goes, you see, you're a sinner. Are you? If you're born again and you do something wrong, are you a sinner? Are you? Are you? No. Well, what does the enemy say? He tells you you're a sinner. And what do you have to do? You have to go, no, I am not a sinner. I've been made a saint, which is what Pastor Alan was talking about last week. I have been made a saint. I have been washed clean. Lord, I repent of that sin. I'm sorry I did what I did. But Lord, I thank you that you restore me straight away and that you have made me acceptable. When Jesus, the first piece of scripture Jesus read, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he said, part of that was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. Right. Now, this is the acceptable time. He has made you acceptable, and that means favor, and that's what God was saying to us through the ministry this morning. Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, God chose you. Turn to someone and say, God chose you. God chose you. And now say, God chose me. He made me accepted. I am accepted in the Beloved.
I'm accepted in the Beloved.
He has not rejected you.
Yes.
We are in Christ.
Rejected me.
That's right. We're in Christ and totally accepted by him. And he came to heal the brokenhearted. He took our place and he identified with all the things that make us feel rejected. That inferiority, that unworthiness. Why? So that we can experience the reality of being chosen and accepted by God. Hebrews 13, 5 to 6, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Yeah.
Never will I leave you. Even when everyone else does, even when no one will talk to you at the workplace, even when you're ridiculed and laughed at for being a Christian, even when you don't get it right and you are the butt of the joke, he says, never will I leave you. So what's the answer here? Well, this is such a huge thing. I could do a whole course on this. And I'm like, okay, God, help me boil this down really quickly. And so I'm sorry if I'm really straight, but I'm time restricted. So the answer is number one, renew your mind. When you are saved, okay, salvation was instant, but there is this ongoing renewal of the mind, and we need to begin believing the truth. And if currently you feel rejected, every day you need to wake up and say, I am accepted in the Beloved.
That's right.
And you need to speak the word over yourself. I am accepted in the Beloved. Jesus accepts me. Jesus loves me. And you need to begin to be confident in the position that you have with the Lord. And the more confident you are, that your outlook in life will be completely different. And when somebody does reject you, instead of taking it personally, you actually let it wash over you. Because actually, God doesn't reject me. But what about practically? So I was thinking about this. See, if no one talks to you at work, what are you going to do about it? So I want you to remember something. I want you to remember there is a cycle of rejection. So I want you to think, are you giving off an air of self-sufficiency? See, when you walk into the office, have you put barriers up? You know, do you walk in and go, right, I need to avoid this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. Oh, great, here's my desk. Or are you going to break the chain and are you going to go, hi, good morning. Hi, how are you today? It's nice to see you. Yes, sometimes you have to be really brave to do that. I found it really difficult at school to talk to people. Because I was a Christian. And you have to be really brave sometimes. Because I was teased and put down and people didn't want to be with me. And I haven't got time to talk about the bus journey that was a nightmare. But anyway, make the first steps. Often people come to us and say, nobody invites me around for dinner. So invite someone around for dinner yourself. Change the chain. Okay. Obviously, can I just say, if there are bigger things in your life, I haven't got time to cover those. And what you need to do is come and speak to the prayer team. If you need somebody, if there is a huge area of rejection or the other things I'm going to come on, please don't go, Claire is just glossing over this. I don't have time. So please come and speak to the prayer team, okay? So the next one is intimidation and fear. This is another island maker. The goal of intimidation is to make us give up our authority. That's what intimidation does. It makes us feel that we are nothing, that we can't do things. And what it does is it causes the gifts that God has given us to get squashed. And of being no effect, because actually we feel intimidated, whether that's in the home, in church, in the workplace, whatever it is, we don't operate at our full extent because we feel squashed. And what happens is we start relying on our own strength instead of going, Lord, come and flow through me. And we become defensive. We're aware that we are vulnerable. So we retreat even further. And many of you know my testimony about fear, how fear restricts and binds and stops you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. Because all you're doing is listening to the lies of the enemy. And whether it is real fear, like abusive situations, or whether it is perceived fear, it's in our minds. It's something that we think is happening, but really it isn't, because the enemy has got us so caught up with that spirit of fear. Both can have a crippling effect on our lives. And what it does is it keeps us away from the body. It causes us to be an island, to not let your gifts be seen, because we are afraid and we think we have nothing to bring. But God says, you have so much to bring. I need you. I need your gifting. I need what you can bring to this body. Intimidation is the act. It's an action. And is intimidation either by the enemy or by a real person who is intimidating us. It could be a husband, wife, could be a boss, could be a friend who's intimidating you, that they think they've got the rule and authority over your life and tell you what to do all the time. There can be many situations of intimidation. And what we have to do is we have to rise up. Sorry, that's the action. The response is fear. Fear is how we respond in those situations. It's the feeling, the emotion that we feel. So how are we going to deal with this? So number one, you need to be confident in who you are. And you need to walk in your authority. And if currently you're sitting there and you go, well, actually, this is a real problem in my life, then you need to sign up for Alan's Grow Group, Victory. Okay? Or the freedom one with Rachel. Either of those two. Have a look at those. Because you will find freedom in your life. See, patterns need to get broken. See, rejection, a pattern needs to get broken. Fear and intimidation, a pattern needs to get broken. And the reason we don't walk away from intimidating situations is because we have been made to feel that we are nothing. A friend of ours, she got engaged on the same day that we got engaged. Beautiful, vivacious young lady. The minute she got married, her husband would say to her, "Why do you do your hair that way? I want you to wear this today. I want to eat this today. Why do you do that? I don't want you to do that in front of me." And he spent his whole time just little things putting her down over and over and over again. And this amazing girl, full of life and incredible, suddenly became this cowering, fearful person. Because she didn't do anything in case her husband said to her, "You haven't done it right." He didn't hit her. There was no physical abuse. It was all words. See, what we say is really powerful. And they actually got divorced. And actually, to be honest, I'm glad she did. Because she had to walk through this healing process and God healed her amazingly. And she's now been married for a long time, 25 years or so, long time. Second husband loves her amazingly. But sometimes we have to walk out of situations. So just going back to, can you go to the next one? Because I've jumped. So you walk in your authority. So you have to stir the gift within you. You know, first of all, if you feel intimidated or afraid, you need to stir that gift. Pray for boldness, that you will be bold. You need to speak the word over your life. If you are in a controlling situation or you feel intimidated, you pray for that boss, that husband or wife, and you seek someone else to stand with you. Do not think you are the only person in that situation, because that's what I thought. It was lies from the enemy. Alan wasn't intimidating. My parents weren't. You'd all be worried if they were. But the enemy was, because the enemy did not want me to have a voice. And that's what he tried to do all the time, was to stop me speaking. Are we going to be afraid of man or afraid of God? And I would say to some of you, you need to pray. Pray, am I in the right job? Am I where God wants me to be? And if you have got issues, please again, come to the prayer team. Please don't suffer in silence. And then the fourth thing I want to talk about very quickly is offense. Offense is another island maker. Offense is something that is taken, not given. Nobody walks out of their front door and goes, "I'm going to give offense today." Nobody does that. What happens is we choose to take offense at something because we don't like what is said or what is done. So what are we going to do about that? Colossians 3:12-13 says, bear with one another and forgive one another. See, patience is long-suffering. When it talks about it in the Bible, in the New King James, it talks about long-suffering. But in the NIV, it uses the word patience, and we are to bear with one another. And many of you have seen this, so we're going to do it again. But I thought I'd make it really relevant to what is happening at the moment. So, here is Bill, and here is Ben. Apologies if anyone is called Bill or Ben in the room. I was trying to pick names, but it's really quite hard, because I was thinking, oh, I'll do this, and then I thought, oh no, we have one of them in here, in our church. I did it once, and then I discovered that I thought it was okay, and somebody was here in the room with that name. So I apologize if you're called Bill or Ben. But here is Bill and Ben. Not the flower pot men, no. It's useful, though. So Bill and Ben have signed up for the same grow group. And this will be Bill. Remind me, this is Bill, because I keep getting it. This is Bill. Now, Bill likes to be on time. Bill, in fact, likes to be on time so much, he's never late. Ben is always late. Ben thinks it's okay to turn up late. Ben is kind of, oh, well, it'll be all right. It doesn't matter. They'll be having tea and coffee, etc. Whereas Bill, he's like, I've got to be there. It's polite. I've got to be there right at time. That's how Bill thinks. So they're in the same grow group. And Ben says, oh, I can pick you up on the way. Would you like that? So Bill goes, oh, that's great, because Bill doesn't have a car. So he's thinking, that's really great. I'll get a lift. So day of grow group arrives, and along comes Ben. But of course, Ben arrives 5 minutes late. Bill already has his coat on, he's got his phone, he's got his keys, he's locked his house, and he's waiting outside, because he's never late. So Ben rocks up, and he's a little bit annoyed, but he gets in the car, and he doesn't say anything. So the first brick gets put in place. He thinks, oh well, Ben's just late, because Ben, something happened, doesn't really do anything about it, and deals with that feeling he's feeling. Would you like a lift next week? Yeah, that would be great, says Bill. So Bill, he's ready. 5 minutes before he's due to be collected, coat on and everything. Soon as it's on the clock, he walks out the door and he's waiting. 10 minutes later, round the corner comes Ben. He's been to Grow Group once. It's all right to be late. The second time, a bit more relaxed, know who's there, doesn't worry about it. Whereas he's like, I don't want to be late, didn't set a good impression. Gets in the car. Now he's a little bit frustrated now. Actually, this is not really helpful, but doesn't say anything. Ben is totally ignorant of the way Bill feels. Third time, third week. Would you like a lift? Bill's like, okay. Let's just hope I'll go with it because I need the lift. Yes, okay, let's have the lift. Lo and behold, Ben is late. Bill is really frustrated now. He really doesn't like to be late at all. And he gets in the car. And to be honest, he doesn't see Ben. He doesn't see the giftings that Ben has. He doesn't see that Ben's been generous. He doesn't see anything good about Ben. All he sees is the offense. All he sees, Ben is late. That's all he sees. Goes to Grow Group, has a great time. Ben says, would you like a lift? No, no thank you. Very curt reply. Doesn't really know how to respond. Doesn't really know him yet. Doesn't feel he can say anything. Oh, Ben's thinking, that's really strange. Why doesn't he want a lift? Oh, well, maybe he's doing something else. Fourth week of Grow Group. Ben arrives late. Bill is already there. Bill arrived on time, and he's sitting somewhere in the room next to two people either side, so he doesn't have to communicate with Ben because he doesn't know how to communicate with Ben. Because if he knows, if he talks to Ben, he's got to explain why he's there, and he's got to explain, I don't like being late. So he avoids it. And what happens is Ben's now upset. I thought we were getting to know one another. I thought everything was okay. You see, Ben is totally blissfully ignorant that he has caused offense because Bill has taken offense. So what should have happened is right here at the beginning, Bill should have gone, "Hey, do you know what, Ben? I really struggle when I'm late. I like to be on time. Is it possible that you could pick me up 5 minutes earlier?" That would have solved it, wouldn't it? But what do we do now we're here? So what needs to happen, we're told in Scripture, is that we need to bear with one another and we need to forgive one another. See, by Bill not forgiving, he's actually causing that separation, and he's causing this island, and he's saying, "I don't know if I want to associate with you," but yet Ben might have the very words that are going to speak straight into a situation, and actually it's the enemy working to cause division. Don't know if you ever think like that, but what he needs to do is forgive. He needs to go, "I forgive you." And actually go and speak to him and say, "Hey, do you know what? I really would like a lift next week. And you probably don't realize this, but I struggle with being late. And I forgive you for not being on time. I would really like to continue to be your friend. Can you come and pick me up earlier?" It's a simple solve. I'm trying to be really practical, but you see, this is what happens with offense, and all we do is we see the offense and we don't see the person. So those are just four things that make us islands, our island makers, that we need to deal with and we need to be aware of. So I know that was quite a lot, but let's just stand for a minute. Let's just close our eyes. If you are somebody who is sick, and you know that sickness prevents you from being in church, I want you to be really honest with God. First of all, is it the sickness stopping you from being here? Or is it because, actually, quite frankly, either can't be bothered, or it's more comfortable, but yet you know this is where you need to be? And I just want you to hear, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But really, this is the place for healing. And just make that decision that nothing is going to stop you from being here. That you're going to come here and ask somebody to pray with you, to stand with you. And you know, when you come here, don't come in here complaining. Come in here with an intention to rejoice. Come, all you who are thirsty. See, God wants to give you rest. He wants to refresh you. And I would leave this place so refreshed sometimes. Because there's so much love here. Just let somebody lay hands on you and pray with you. And just receive that freshness from the Lord. So determine in your heart that you're not going to let sickness have the victory in your life. You know, sometimes when we give in to sickness, it makes the sickness worse. Okay. And then rejection. Maybe you're somebody and you go, actually, I need your help, Lord. Father, I pray that you give me your boldness, you give me your words to speak, that when I go into the workplace, I won't put up barriers and I won't put up walls that stop people coming close to me, but I will start taking those bricks down and I will start making myself vulnerable. And Lord, I pray that you show me the one or two people to build relationship with at work. That you show me it, with my children's friends, that you show me who are the one or two that I need to build relationship with. See, if you don't build relationship with people, then God can't use you to speak into their lives. And do you know, it's not just about salvation. I learned very early on that people would watch me with my children and they couldn't understand why I didn't get cross and shout and yell at them when they did something wrong, that I maintained my peace. And actually, they were watching me and that opened the door for them to ask me, how come you're so peaceful, Claire? I didn't tell them about the gospel. They asked. And that gave me an entranceway into their life. But if we don't make ourselves vulnerable, that can't happen. And then maybe when I've spoken about fear, maybe you are in a situation where you are being intimidated. And I want to say to you, find someone to pray with you.
Yeah.
Don't be on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you now, we're just going to pray in the spirit for a little bit. Is that okay? I know we haven't got much time, but I just want you to lay hands. This is as easy as it gets for stirring up the gift. See, the gift is within you. Put your hands on your stomach and just begin to pray in the spirit. Kia sandalabo sondalaba sandalaba shiandalabo sondo. To sondalaba palaka siya shia sandalabo sondo. Kola ka sanda. I stir up the gift within me. I stir up the gifts within me. I thank you for that spirit of boldness. That spirit of boldness that you have given me. Kia sandalabo kola ko sondalaba. Iya shia sandalaba. Sandalabo kola ko sondalaba sanda. Ia sandalabo sondo. Ia shia sanda. Ia sandalabo sondo. Kia sandalabo. I am anointed. I am anointed. I have been anointed. The Holy Spirit lives in me. It dwells in me. And I thank you for the gifts that you have put within me. Ia sandalabo, ko sondalabo sondo. And I pray that you cause these gifts that you have put within me to be fruitful, that I will be useful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then, just to say, if you have taken offense, you need to leave this room and you need to walk in forgiveness and sort it out. Is that okay?